All right, take your Bibles if you would, please. Thank you very much. Turn to Daniel chapter 5. Thank you, students. Daniel chapter 5. Amen. Thank you, Daniel 5. Thank you very much. Let's stand together. Daniel chapter 5. Take your Bibles if you would, please. And we'll go ahead and be seated. That's fine. We'll go ahead and read Daniel chapter 5, just a verse. Thank you so much. I'd like to say a quick thank you to all those. Of course, I feel like the week got started tremendously with Brother Waterhouse's message on take advantage. Don't miss the opportunity. I wrote every one of those points down and referenced them several times this week, thinking about that truth, and certainly rejoice with that. And then Brother Collins's message on all in, and a great truth, and prayed about that. And also Brother Lutz yesterday dovetails with the tremendous truth as well, as don't quit, stay involved with that, and take advantage of every opportunity God's given you. Today is Spirit Week, and finishing up Spirit Week, and I want to talk to you about the spirit of Hiles Anderson College, the spirit that God wants us to have, not just for Hiles Anderson College, but for every child of God. And I want to speak to you a little bit about that this morning. I do, I've enjoyed being with you. I love being with you. Very thankful for the chance to be a part of your lives at this stage of your life. And we believe in you, not because of who you are, but because of what God has planned for your heart and life. We're excited about that. And we have the joy on a monthly basis and oftentimes on a weekly basis to travel the country and the world and see young people who once sat in this room with me and after me and before me that are now serving the Lord and doing great exploits for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have that common denominator. We thank God for every Bible college, any place, every Bible institute, every church family that trains people. God drew our hearts to this place together. And I believe with all my heart you're here because God wanted you to come. And I'm here as a turtle on a fence post because God put me here at this time to work with some of the finest servants of Christ. I love, when I think about a college, I think about four things. Number one, I think about what's the philosophy. What's the philosophy? Is it biblical? Number two, what about the people? What about the people that invest, the staff and the faculty? Then I think about the program. What is it? Is it a balanced program between learning and doing? Practical as well as philosophical and biblical? And then I can't help but think of the last thing I evaluate, and that's the product. What happens when someone receives a diploma or a degree, finishes here? Are they going to go out? Are they going to be faithful to do what God's called them to do? And I believe that we have tremendous strengths all across the world through the 44-year history of our college. And I wish our founder were here today. I wish he could climb up on these steps as an 89-year-old and just two days from being 90 and speak to us. I had the joy to hear him in this room numerous times as he would walk out of that room right there and come to the platform and challenge our hearts. But he's with the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we have the opportunity, this is our day, and we can say hats off to the past and coats off to the future. And let's get with it and let's do what God wants us to do. And I've enjoyed the spirit of Spirit Week, but I want to talk to you about the spirit of a Hiles Anderson College student and learn a little bit about that today. And let's look, if we can, please, at Daniel chapter 5, if we can. Daniel chapter number 5, and we'll look at this very familiar passage of Scripture. Belshazzar has a problem, and he needs somebody. He's wet his pants, literally, being scared to death by the handwriting of God on the wall, and a queen comes to him and says, "Listen, you can't get anybody to tell you what that says. It's he gave a saying on there, and God wrote a saying on it, and it was meeny meeny tekel upharsin, and he wrote that on the wall. He had no clue what that meant. He's scared to death. He's sobered out of a drunken stupor, and he needs some help." And a queen came to him and said, "Listen, if you want some help, you go find the old man, Daniel. And when you'll know him because you're going to find a guy who has an excellent spirit. And And you get him to come, he'll tell you what's on the wall, he'll tell you what's going to happen. And of course, what he told him is that he wasn't going to live past the night. He was done, he was toast, put a fork in him, it was over, he's going to die. And someone else is going to take his kingdom, and it was a prophetic moment, because he had really ticked the Lord off, if you will, and caused him to be angry. But you look in verse number 11 and you'll hear, let's look at verse number 10. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever, and let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of the Father, and the Father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of God, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say thy father, made the master of magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. I want you to read verse 12 with me, would you please? For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts, but let, and then Daniel was brought before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, Art thou that Daniel which art of the children of the captivity of Judah? Are you the Israelite whom the king my father brought out of Jewry? I have even heard of thee that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And he goes on to brag about him, telling him things. And then, of course, Daniel says, I'll give you all kinds of things. You keep your gifts, but I'll tell you what's going on. He did, and of course, it was exactly as God said. But I love this statement. I love Daniel. Of course, Daniel and Joseph are two men in the Bible. There's just not a lot of dirt on those two guys. They really did some good things. And of course, one of the reasons, I think, of Daniel's success is he was a man of prayer. But we need Daniels today. We need Josephs today, who, what was known about Joseph is the Lord was with him. That's what needs to be known about me, and that's what knows about you. Not that we're talented, not that we're gifted, not that we're flashy, not that we're intelligent, but the Lord is with us. And courage does not come because of who we are, but who is with us. Knowing God is with us, that was Joseph's key. And then Daniel was a man of prayer. But I want you to have noticed he had an excellent spirit. God has a lot to say about spirit. I looked up every verse in the Bible that I knew that the word spirit in little form is found this week in preparation for this. And I really, the message could go on for days. There's lots of information. Isaiah chapter 11, you'll see a prophetic thing about Jesus Christ, how that he was the branch that would spring out of the desert, and it would tell it all about how his spirit would have the spirit of wisdom and knowledge and so many other things. There's also a negative spirit. The Bible tells us the spirit of a man sustains his infirmity. When you have a sickness or an illness or a low time in your life, it'll be your spirit that will sustain that. Paul told Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in your attitude. Another name for that we use today, we don't oftentimes say, but some will say, he has a good spirit, we'll say he has a great attitude. And attitude is important. Someone said attitude determines your altitude. You'll go higher in life whenever your attitude is what it ought to be. And we're supposed to be an example of that. And we find that all through. Is of a man who can't control his own spirit. It's like a city without walls, no defenses. What kind of an attitude and what kind of a spirit do we need at Hiles Anderson College? What have we had? Not always, because we've had human beings here. We haven't always had this in Pastor Wilkerson or in our administration. We haven't had it always in 2016, and we didn't have it in 1972. But I do think there's a prevailing spirit that needs to continue. And needs to continue not at Hiles Anderson College, not only at Hiles Anderson College, but everywhere that the name of Christ is mentioned. And I wanted to share those with you, and I've given the acrostic of spirit, and I want to just give you several thoughts. Number one, we need a spirit of soul winning. Every Tuesday morning, if we were to ask in here how many got to share the gospel with someone, every single hand ought to go up. I'm going to change a little bit of what Brother Colin said just a moment ago, and I'm fine. I understand what we're doing. I think it's a great idea. But I do believe that I don't think we ought to give the points to people who win souls or bring, I don't want to get in a competition of bringing people to Christ. However, I do want to get in a competition of sharing the gospel with unsaved people. You can't save anyone. Soul warning, not soul winning necessarily. But soul winning is a biblical concept. He that winneth souls is wise. Turn him into righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But I'd like the contest to be anyone who goes through all four points of the gospel of Christ with someone completely. Someone cuts you off in point number two, then you don't get the points. Then you ought to be honest anyways. I don't want someone saying, I've got 75 people saved and just to get points in your things. But I'd like to know if you would honest with yourself and say, you know, I got to share the gospel. I shared the gospel with a man last night. His name was Robert and didn't get through all of it because, you know, at the end of the day, sir, I just believe in myself. He said, my faith is in myself and my own abilities. I am not going to trust any other God or any more gobbledygook. And I said, well, just take the track. He says, no, I don't want that. I'm trusting myself. I wouldn't be able to claim him as one of my soul-winning stories. But I witnessed to another man this morning. He lives in Indianapolis. And he's from a Hindu background and began to share the gospel with him. And neither one of the men that I talked to got saved. But that's not really my job. My job is to be faithful. When it comes to stewardship, it's requires a steward that a man be found faithful. But every Tuesday morning when you come back, or Monday morning when you come back from your weekend, every one of us has an opportunity to get in the gospel presentation with somebody. If you're in Chicago for 2 hours or 5 hours or 7 hours, somewhere in that time frame, there is people out there who need to know the gospel of Christ. I can't believe that we couldn't talk 5-10 people and ask 10 people. Listen, several years ago someone asked me if I died today I'd go to heaven. I didn't know. But I now know. Do you know, or you have some doubt about that? And if you have doubt about that, would you allow me to take the Bible and show you from the Bible in a few minutes how you can have eternal life? I think if you ask 10 people, that somebody would sit still long enough to let you explain that to them. Asking about it, I have my secretary, Miss Jean Schaefer. He said, Pastor, you said that the other day. He goes, I've not done that. I've not asked that second question. Could I take the time and show you from the Bible what someone showed me? She said, you know, the other day I had these two businesswomen and they're not saved. And I asked them, would you mind if I show you? She goes, yes, but I don't have time now. She said, okay, can we set an appointment? Wednesday afternoon she went over there, and the lady at the end of the thing, she said she didn't get saved. I wish she would have. She said, Miss Jean, I have never heard that in my whole life. I've lived in America my whole life. No one's ever explained that to me. She said, it's too much to take in for me right now, but I will be at church Sunday morning. She'll be sitting with Miss Jean Sunday morning. And the gospel is working on her. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But I want to encourage you to get the gospel out. This church, this college and the spirit of Howells Anderson College is not about patting people on the head and feeding the hungry stomach so we can do that. It's not just about loving people, it is that, but you've got to love them enough to get the gospel to them. Jesus' last command is our first priority. Let me just give you young people, listen, you go out tomorrow, get a New Testament. If you don't have one this week, get one next week. And get a New Testament and mark that New Testament and decide, you know what, with God's help, I'm going to give the gospel to somebody. And do that every week of your life, and if you can do it every day of your life, that'd be great. I try to pray every morning, Lord, give me somebody I can talk to about the gospel. Last week I had the joy to lead two people to the Lord, but before that I had 3 weeks where I had no one saved. Though I tried to get the gospel, and I'd given out scores of gospel tracts. I'm actually out of tracts right now, I think, because of giving them out today and last night. But it's frustrating. But you know what? You always sow seeds. Every person I've ever led to Christ, I'm confident of this, I'm not the only contact they ever had. I know someone else planted, someone else watered, and God let me see the increase. And He gave the increase, but I got to be there when we got to harvest. But every week, plan to get engaged in the gospel presentation. We ought to be a soul-winning college. It's a spirit. And whenever you leave, by the way, you're not going to be able to disciple people that are not saved. Unsaved people are not easy to disciple. They need to get saved. And every week, you've got to be endeavoring to get the gospel By the way, those of us on staff, those of us on faculty members, we ought to equally be concerned. I always love to hear of salvation testimonies from our staff and faculty. Oftentimes we give testimonies about who got saved. We had several ladies this week go to the ladies' prison and see girls come and know Jesus Christ, their Savior. Other ladies, two of our Hyman Baptist school teachers, had a two-hour break in their day, and they went out and led someone to Christ during the two-hour time. They went out soul winning together, Miss Abby Sloan and Miss Jeffries. Went out and led someone to Christ recently. And boy, what it thrills my heart to hear that. We ought to have the spirit of soul winning. Always be on soul patrol, conscious of those who God is looking for. God's looking for people, and you're going to run to people tomorrow. And then, of course, we don't want to stop with soul winning. We want to help them follow the Lord in believers' baptism. We want to help them grow in the Lord and disciple them to spiritual maturity. That's what God wants us to do. That the Great Commission is to go, to win. To go, to teach, to baptize, and then to teach them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. You don't want to leave Hiles Anderson College this year or next year or as a senior without having other people going to church, growing in their walk with the Lord because of you. Hundreds and thousands of people have been led to Christ by college students and are still safely serving the Lord because of their faithfulness. It's a spirit of soul winning. Number two, I want you to notice, it's a spirit of prayer and personal walk with the Lord. Where your walk with God is important. You know, I wanted to say this real quickly. The ministry sometimes competes with the family and your personal life. Sometimes that can be a challenge. But you know, I really think the ministry God gives to me and Linda, it complements our family, and our family complements our ministry. You know, when a man ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies be at peace with him. I think a balance is a spirit-filled life. Sometimes I think we get it so compartmentalized and realize you're one person, but God can use you in a special way, but your walk with God will be that root that will give fruit for your life. You know, if you walk with God, you'll be a better husband. You'll be a better son, a better daughter, a better sister. You'll be a better bus worker. All of our lives need to be a spirit of walking with God, being filled with the Spirit of God. All of us ought to pray today, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. If you're saved, that can happen. And it starts with a desire to have that happen. Spend time in the Word of God. If we do not have the Holy Spirit of God filling us with His Word, and this first thing this morning, you probably did the same thing. My first thing this morning, though I got up, I didn't get up at 2 o'clock in the morning, I got up at 4 a.m., my first thing this morning, I took the time, and my first waking moment was to talk to the Lord for a moment, and I flipped over to the book of Psalms, chapter 73, and 74, and 75, and just let the Word of God dwell in me richly. I don't plan to preach on Psalm 73, 74 anytime soon, but I want the Word of God to keep resting in my heart. I want to be tender. I don't want to just be the first thing I look is the news or the sports. Often we're talking about your life, and if you spend less time on your stinking phone, on Facebook and Instagram, you give a lot more time to the things of God. You're going to find yourself much more productive. I'm not against the social media. I realize where it plays a role today, but it's addicted. These video games, young people. You say, I just don't have time. You're playing too many games. Think about the American poet in Shanghai was on fire one night. He said tonight, he was writing a telegram back to the States, and he said tonight, I'm thinking Shanghai, but I don't think I have the right place, but I think it was Shanghai. He said, tonight Shanghai is dying, is burning, it's on fire, but I'm dying too. There's never a death as real as the death inside of you. Some men go up in shrapnel, and others go up in flames, but most men die moment by moment, minute by minute, playing little games. One thing you don't want to do with your life is play little games. But you will play games if you try to serve God without walking with God. A spirit of personal walk with God. We have 107 acres on this campus. You need to find a little tree or a stump or a section of this campus where you walk. I love to see in the early morning hours, sometimes driving here early or even in the afternoons, young ladies and young men walking around the campus. Nothing wrong with walking with your friends, that's fine. I love to see when you walk by yourself because I can tell there's some thought going on. or some time going on. I remember years ago out in the behind the gymnasium, walking out there and running to my friends sometimes. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. And then walking away from them and saying, Father, please help me. Help me to see somebody saved. Help me to keep my life pure. Help me to do nothing that would ever tick you off or make you angry with me. Help me keep a shorter account of sins. Or something in my life you don't like, God? Tell me right now. I'll be quiet for a minute. You show me what you don't like, and I want to confess it. I don't want to keep that. You're important to me. That personal time with the Lord, that's a spirit that we need so desperately, a spirit of soul winning, a spirit of a personal time of prayer and a walk with God. Number three, the letter I, is a spirit of involvement. I love this particular one. I think all of them are great, but I love it, all in. Launch out into the deep. Years ago I was, and by the way, I think you ought to. If you're on a bus route, I love that bus route. Don't endure 5 hours in Chicago. Enjoy 5 hours in Chicago. Don't endure a bus meeting. Enjoy the bus meeting. Come ready to invest in the bus meeting. Involve yourself. Get all in. I think about what Jesus said to the disciples. Launch out into the deep. Years ago, I was at a camp. And I remember the first day of the afternoon of the camp, we always wanted to go swimming. It had a lake and had a big old blob where you got to jump off and hit that. And someone else goes flying. They had diving boards. I mean, it was a lake. It was beautiful. It was deep. It was crystal clear out in the deep end. But you had to pass a swim test. You had to pass a swim test. Everyone who went out there on the first day, it was so many line after line of guys going swimming down, swimming back, and then the left guard would say, okay, and he would even give them a wristband or something so he wouldn't have to do it again and snap it on there, and then they could just, when they came out to swim time, they could go out there on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, no problem. But I watched as some guys, they either didn't pass the swim test or couldn't swim, and I watched them, and they had another little place that there was roped off inside there. And quite frankly, it was nasty. Dirty, muddy, mucky. I mean, it had a little sand on the outside, but down inside there. But I saw these guys standing around with knee-deep water, splashing themselves, you know. Goofing around, running around, getting up, and they got dirt all over their stomach. Then I saw the other guys out in the deep end just, boom, woo, you know, jumping off, dives, swan dives, you know, can openers, cannonballs, all the things they do out there. They're having all kinds of fun in the swimming pool and in the big lake. But you know, I stood on the shore that day, I thought to myself, that's a great analogy of God's people. People who always want to feel the bottom of the pool. They always want to be stable and comfortable. They don't want to swim. Someone stayed in the pool because they were nervous about what's in the bottom of the lake. 10 feet, 12 feet, 15 feet, 30 feet below them. I'm just nervous about the lake. So they're going to stay in the little wading pool and splash themselves with their little buddies. You know, in this room right now, there are young people. Saturday ministry. You just stand over there and splash yourself on the corner, rather than get involved in the life of a young person. And you need to get out there and do the swan dive in the deep and trust the Lord and launch out into the deep and quit goofing around, twiddling your thumbs and playing games on your phone while you have an opportunity to spend time in the lives of people. And every time you meet someone, you ought to be thinking, do they know the Lord? How can I get the gospel to them? How can I share the gospel with them? You see a group of young people, you ought to think, man, hey, one of those kids, like Brother Judah said the other day, he said, the first time I ever went to church, I turned the corner. I was out in the middle of the street playing football as a 14-year-old boy. And a man came up and said, hey, can you go to church tomorrow? This guy right here is going to swallow goldfish. He said, I'll come watch that. And I can't imagine what our life would be like at this stage of life without Brother Judah. I love him. Admire him. He has a heart for God. His poetry is suspect, but he's got a heart for the Lord. Leadership skills, suspect too. No, I'm just joking. What a wonderful servant of God. All as a 14-year-old boy playing football in the middle of Chicago, and a bus worker comes up. Some of you could stand up right now and give me stories about your day. Think about Mikey and Eduardo. Where's Mikey at? Would you stand, Mikey? Where's Mikey at? Right back here, bus kid in New Mexico. Thank you, Mikey. Eduardo, where are you? In San Diego, where are you? Stand there real quickly. 9-year-old bus kid. Someone went out and reached. Mike, it was the first day he moved into his government housing project. The first day he came into a new home, and a bus worker came, said he wanted to ride the bus tomorrow. Now he's in Bible college, and I think God will use those men. Some of you could tell me the same story. And tomorrow there are hundreds and thousands of young people that need someone to get involved and quit splashing yourself in trying to fill the bottom of the pool and get out there where it's deep and enjoy the blessings of God. A spirit of soul winning, a spirit of a personal, true walk with God. A spirit of involvement. I would say nextly, I'd like to encourage you to have a spirit of responsibility and respect. Responsibility. I find that mature Christians, they know themselves and they are themselves. Mature Christians are sensitive to the needs and the feelings of other people. Immature people, they don't care what anyone thinks about them, if they hurt someone or not. But mature people are careful about that. Babies don't mind crying in the middle of a church service. Why? Because they're immature. We expect it. But more mature we become, the more respectful we become of those around us. Mature people are motivated by the eternal and not the temporal. They're motivated by the spiritual and not the material. Mature Christians are motivated by love. But mature Christians, they focus on responsibility and not feelings and comfort. How I thank God, and you'll see on Sunday night when Brother Hyle lifts his hand to the heavens and says, I'll take the bus kids. It was a responsibility that caused him to do that. Spirit of responsibility. You're responsible for your school bill. You're responsible for your testimony. You're responsible for your attitude. You're not responsible for what happens to you. You're responsible for how you deal with it. Amen. I can't. Oftentimes things happen to me. Your dad was sitting at a stoplight and a lady rear-ended the back of my car. I thought, man, I'm on my way to the airport. This is a rough one here. And pull off and deal with that situation. But I thought as I stood there waiting for her to get her stuff out of her car, I thought to me, you know, I'm not responsible for this happening, but I am responsible for how I'm going to handle this situation. How I'm going to be gracious to this lady. How I'm going to try to comfort her in spite of the fact that it was her fault. I've had several conversations since that time. Whenever we got the call at 2:39 in the morning on August the 15th that our son was with the Lord, I wasn't responsible as I held Linda in that hallway that day. I wasn't responsible for our son going home to heaven at that time, but I am responsible for how I'd handle it. You're not responsible for your parents' divorce. You're not responsible if your pastor moves to another location. You're not responsible for what goes on in other places or in anyone else's life, but you are responsible for how you handle it. And that's a spirit. That's an attitude that has to take place. Think about Jacob Doan, his grandfather passing away. He's not responsible for that. He's responsible for how he responds to that. You may have a mistreatment or something that doesn't go right, or maybe a teacher doesn't understand you and something you try to do what's right. You're not responsible for what happens. You're responsible for how you handle it. And it's an attitude of responsibility. I find next it's a spirit of integrity. Don't lie. Tell the truth. Be honest. You know, I had a man talk to me on Wednesday night. He said, Pastor, I need to help when I go to someone's door. How do I talk to them about the Lord? How do I get engaged in the gospel presentation? And he's a good man, but he's a hard charger. He's hard to read, and he's a little bit too crass with people. And he loves the Lord. That's why he's asking me, because he wants to be better at that. But I talked to him. I thought, and I made this statement to him. I've heard it somewhere before. Everything I say, I've heard it somewhere before. There's nothing original with me. But if people don't trust you, they're not going to trust your Savior. And they're not going to trust what you tell them. And you know, you spend a lifetime trying to build that kind of a reputation. Can people trust you? Can your roommate trust you? Can they trust you with a secret? Can they trust you with an information that, you know, obviously something's wrong, you need to tell folks? But you know, people can't trust me. They are not going to trust what I tell them. Because your life... Your sermons whisper, but your life shouts. And integrity builds that. One of the things we love about Job is he was a man who had had heart of integrity. He eschewed evil. He hated evil. He loved what was good, and his heart, it was real and genuine. I want to encourage you young people to have a spirit of integrity and truthfulness. A spirit of soul winning, a spirit of a personal walk with the Lord, and especially a prayer life. These are things you have to decide. If it's a part of your attitude, it'll change everything. a spirit of involvement, a spirit of responsibility, a spirit of integrity, and finally, a teachable spirit. I say, you know what? What can I learn? You know, every man is my teacher. Amen. You can learn something. And you know, that's so important, especially in a college. And it takes maturity. This stuff is not natural. It's not natural to me. It's not natural to you. But today in chapel, there's things you can learn. Sometimes you learn what to do, what not to do. Tomorrow, there are things you're going to learn. And a teachable spirit, I find three attributes in great Christians. Number one, they decide to do what is right. They're determined to do what's right. Not what's easy, not what's convenient, not what's popular, but whatever's right to do. Number two, great Christians will quickly admit and correct things they do that are wrong. How long does it take you to tell a lie and get it corrected? How long does it take you to lose your cool, say something you shouldn't say, and come back and say, you know what, God convicted me, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that. How long does it take you to slam a door, leave a dorm room, get mad at someone, and say, hey, hold on a second. Don't walk out of the field, don't walk out of the gym, come back around and say, you know what, I lost my cool. Wrong. God forgive me, I've asked the Lord to forgive me, will you forgive me? And then great Christians are teachable people. It's a spirit that we need to have. And it's the Hiles Anderson College Spirit, and I pray that God will use it to be a blessing to your heart and life today. Let's stand together, can we please? As we wrap up.